First Timothy chapter 4, and let's take a look at verse 6, and as we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this special night. We thank you for our visitors. We thank you most of all for sending Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you 2 Thessalonians 3:1 that has free course here tonight. It's glorified. We claim Mark 4:24. We thank you so much that we take heed and value your word, and therefore it is measured back to us in a real strong way. Father, we come with a hungry and thirsty heart, Matthew 5, 6, and your promise is to fill us up. So, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, praise the Lord. And we're going to talk to you tonight about developing the leader within. And we picked this session tonight in honor of Miss Amy and her ordination service. So developing the leader within. Everybody say, I have a leader on the inside of me waiting to get out. You just thought that was your stomach growling, didn't you? And I want us to develop that. Could I have an amen?
Amen.
Everything, guys, rises and falls to the level of leadership. Everything. So how, if we develop leadership, then things are going to move upward. If we don't, they'll be forever complacent. So we need to develop that leader within. Someone said, well, you know, if you call yourself a leader and nobody's following, you're just out for a walk. And that really is true. So we want to make sure, I mean, what a prerequisite of being a leader is that somebody's following. But the only way someone's going to follow you is if you develop the leader within. Someone said, well, you know, leaders are not, you know, they're born, but they're not made. Well, I disagree. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26 that he has created man, woman, to have dominion. If I could paraphrase that a little bit, he's created us to lead. So let's develop the leader within. What do you say? That sound okay? You sure? We've been talking to a number of the students. And guys, we really have to eventually come to the standpoint where we're not just folks who have potential, but we're folks that are developing potential. Isn't that right? I remember when I was young in the Lord, I remember people would literally look at me and they would say, man, he's got a lot of potential. And I finally got tired of that logo. He's got a lot of potential. And I decided to develop that potential. And you can too. You can develop the leader within. Could I have an amen? Now, you know that you're participating in worship when you amen, right? By the way, staff, I did talk to the students about that, and so they're raring to go. All right. I got to share that with Pastor Louie if I get a chance, how the people amening is their part of the worship service when I'm teaching the word. Oh, y'all are worshiping God. I like that. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:6, have you found that? A lot of times what we do, folks, in life is, you know, we get a little bit discouraged because maybe we haven't found whatever area in life that we have leadership qualities. But you have to understand, life's a whole lot like the prophet who came to Jesse's household. You remember Jesse, David's papa? And he was supposed to anoint somebody for king, right? Isn't that right? And he, you know, okay, bring your boys out. Well, he laid hands on this one, laid hands on that one, laid hands on this one, laid hands on that one, and wasn't him. Well, a lot of times, that's a whole lot what life is about, is a process of elimination. A lot of times we put our hand to something and we find out that it's not extremely successful, and then we get discouraged and stop endeavoring to lead. But guys, God is leading us through a process of elimination. A lot of times you're just finding out what you're not good at. On your way to David. On your way to what you're anointed to do. Does that make sense? So if you get discouraged in the process, you know, it's not him, it's not it. Well, I mean, the alternative is to sit there in the corner of complacency and never do anything. So what we have to do is get out there in life and try something. Well, what if we fail? Well, get back up. Or if you try something and it's not your cup of tea, it can be God's process of leading you what you're anointed to do. That makes sense? So we're on our way to being King David. Could I have an amen? Developing the leader within. Now, 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, we're actually going to get to these verses. And we're going to cover the next 10 verses in a fairly timely fashion. And I believe these 10 verses are probably the best passage of leadership verses that are in the Bible. Now, there's certainly a number of verses, you know, single verses that are real good. But as far as passage of verses, these next 10 verses will probably be the best verses in the entire Bible to help you develop your potential. Not just talk about it, but actually develop it. Could I have an amen? Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Now that phrase, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, really remembrance of these things is one Greek word. Hupotathemi. Hupo means underneath. Tathemi means to place. Put it together. To place underneath. And it is talking about a foundation. Now if you're going to develop the leader within, you have to develop a foundation in your life. And that foundation solely and simply has to be the Word of God. We're living in a day and a time and an hour when the supernatural is pretty rampant. I thank God for that. But the foundation that has to hold it is the Word of God. Isn't that right? You remember over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8? You remember where the Bible says, in the last days, so is in the days of Jannes and Jambres, it'll be in the last days. And the word so in the Greek is the Greek word haotes, which means identically so. So what it is saying to you and I is saying in the last days there will be the supernatural, but there also will be the false. Remember Jannes and Jambres from Exodus chapter 7? Remember they were the court astrologers of the Pharaoh and they threw down their rods and they became serpents. Isn't that right? And then Moses threw down his rod. It became a serpent and then swallowed up the false, right? So we thank God for the real, because that's a type and a shadow of Isaiah 59:19. The Bible says when the devil comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a snake against him, if you will. That makes sense? But the foundation, if all of those three rods became snakes and they all threw them down, there has to be a foundation in which we can throw down the supernatural. And that's the Word of God. We have to have that foundations that will hold the supernatural and will help us discern between the real and the false. Amen? So notice here, if you're going to develop the leader within, you have to develop a foundation of the Word of God. Are you here? And then, look at the pastor in the right next to me. That's so nice. My goodness. Notice here, the Bible says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. The word good is the Greek word kalos, means honorable. If you're going to develop the leader within, you have to be a person of honor. You have to be a person of integrity. Could I have an amen? Appreciate the Harrisons, because they're people of integrity. One way to know that is, do you keep your word? Are you a person of integrity? Now, we all, you know, things happen and things are beyond our control. But by and large, we need to be people of honor. You know, you can get somebody to follow you in leadership maybe because of a cause or maybe because of emotions or a high. But if you want to have a sustained leadership in your life, it will come only by integrity. Listen to me closely. People will only follow those that they can trust over a long period of time. Now, I mean, I can get you to follow, if someone gets you to follow over a short period of time, but if you don't have integrity, it won't be over a long period of time. So everybody say honor. Say, I'm a person of honor. So notice here the Bible says that we would be a good minister. Now, the word minister in the Greek is diakonos. We get deacon from it, and it means servant. Notice the foundation of all leadership is being a servant. If you're not a servant, you're not a leader. The greatest among you is the greatest prophet. No, the greatest among you is the greatest servant. Until you have that understanding, the Bible says in Acts 13 and 36 that David served his generation by the will of God. That is the best way that you can be a servant, is doing it by the will of God. Now, your pastor, to the Pattersons and myself, I'm serving you right now. My capacity of service is a little bit different. It's word, prayer, and oversight, but I'm still a servant. Does that make sense? I don't mow the lawn, not because I'm too good to mow the lawn. It's just that if I mow the lawn, then I'm going to have to come out here and serve you, microwave cooking and pawn it off as home cooking. But I'm serving you right now. Does that make sense? So everybody say, I got to be a servant if I want to develop the leader within. Now notice here, the Bible says that we should be, as a good minister of Jesus Christ, the Greek literally reads like Jesus Christ. Jesus himself came, Mark 10:45, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to be a servant. He's our ultimate role model. We got to quit looking for status and start looking for service. Stop looking, for credit and looking for character. Could I have an amen? Amen. So notice here, the Bible says, like Jesus Christ, nourished up. The word nourish in the Greek is a Greek word entrypho, and it means to eat, digest, and incorporate in your system. Now, I like that. You know that in the natural. When you eat something, you know your body takes it into the digestive system. It takes the chemicals out of the food that's good and directs it to certain parts of your body that enhance that part of your body. Well, that's the same thing that God's Word will do. As a leader, if we're going to develop the leader within, we have to incorporate God's Word in our system. And not just hear it a little bit, but I mean eat it and digest it and let it go into the different parts of our life. Let it, if you're feeling a little bit down, you just take the food of Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Incorporate it into your system and watch those chemicals go to your soul and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you're feeling a little bit lazy, you take Mark 10:43, the greatest among you is the greatest servant. You eat that and let that then come up to your soul and help you put your hands to the plow. You'll have an amen. If you're feeling like you're having a rude attitude, then what you need to do is you need to take, you know, Psalms 103, verses 1, 2, and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and tell your attitude not to be rude. Could I have an amen? And that's what we do, but we have to put that in our system. It's not just a matter of amening it, although, amen. It's not just a matter of amening it, it's incorporating it in our system. Could I have an amen? Particularly if you're going to develop the leader within. Because God does. He wants you to be a leader. He wants you to win. Amen. So notice here, the Bible says, nourished up in what? In words of faith and sound doctrine. Now, there's two things we really need if we're going to develop the leader within. The two things we're going to have to remember. One, don't ever let go of the words of faith. If you let go of the truths of faith that we have learned over the years, you'll let go of the supernatural. You don't need to let go of that. Be nourished up in the words of faith. And sound, the Greek word hugias, healthy, we get hygiene from it, healthy doctrine. Now, this is what I always like to say. Rhema's, you know, the living word, the spoken word, rhema's for victory and sound doctrine to keep us error-free. You need both. You can be extremely doctrinally sound, but dying of cancer, and that's not going to help you. You can, in the same vein, be extremely healthy and prosperous, but in error, and that's not going to help you. So what we need to be nourished up in is both the balance of the words of faith, which bring the supernatural, which bring the power of God into our lives, as well as sound doctrine, which keeps us balanced. So we're not like pendulum Christians, you know, swinging back and forth with every new thing that comes through Tulsa. Can I have an amen? Or whatever your choice of cities may be. All right? Does that make sense? All right, amen. Now, notice here, the Bible says, in good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, so here he is telling Timothy that, hey, you've at least arrived to some degree. Now, there's a lot of problems that Timothy is dealing with in this book, but he's at least arrived to that degree. Does that make sense? Verse 7, but refuse. Now, the word in the Greek refuse means strongly reject. So this is a serious deal right here. He's saying strongly reject, listen to me closely, old wives' fables. Now, Timothy obviously had some literal old wives' fables that he was dealing with. But let me modernize some old wives' fables. You ready? You sure? You're too old to be a leader. You're too young to be a leader. You're the wrong color to be a leader. You're the wrong economic background to be a leader. Well, you know, what are you doing going to Bible school? You ought to be out making a living. Old wives' fable. Here's a great revelation. Ready? People will not always have faith for what God has called you to do. That's why they don't understand. Ask Joseph. Now you need to be wise. Don't go telling everybody. Could have an amen. Unless you want to end up in a ditch somewhere. But be wise. Could have an amen. So strongly reject, the Bible says, old wives' fables, if you want to develop that leader within. And exercise thyself rather on the godliest. Now, notice here in verse 6, we were eating, digesting, and incorporating in our system. Now, we're exercising. You can eat all the carrots you want. You can eat 50 carrots every day, but if you don't exercise, they're going to go right to your toes. Now, in this case, guys, we're talking about exercising spiritually. Now, the Greek is talking about an athletic training term in which these Olympic track athletes would literally strip, and I'm not trying to be flippant, but that's exactly what they do. They'd strip completely naked and train. Now, I'm certainly not trying to get you into that doctrine. Could I have an amen? We do, the Bible says, be clothed with humility. All right, good. Okay, praise God. Keep your armor on. But what I am saying is what he's referring to is Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, to lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset us. If we're going to develop the leader within, you must not allow yourself to get distracted from the goal. Because you know and I know there's always going to be something that comes up to try to get you off of what God's called you to do. Some sort of distraction. Let me give you some strong truth, and I want you to write this in. All failure, listen to me closely here, because this, if you don't get anything else tonight, get this. All failure comes from broken focus. Do you hear what I said? All failure comes from broken focus. If you didn't get anything else, you get that. Because there are always going to be people that will try to get you off what God's called you to do. Always, always. There's always going to be an emergency that you got to handle. There's always going to be somebody that needs counseling. There's always going to be somebody that needs this. And they got to, even though it took them 12 years to get in this emergency, they got to see you right now, and they're going to see you this second, because after all, even though it's taken me 12 years, and it's going to take me another 12 to get out, I got to see you right now, even though it's 2 a.m. you understand what I'm saying. I guarantee you pastors, they understand what I'm saying. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself, exercise thyself, exercise thyself unto godliness. Now, godliness really just could mean this: God in us coming out. See, this world needs to do more than hear about our faith. They need to see 2 Corinthians 3:2, living epistles read of all men. To a sinner, the only Bible they're ever going to read is the book of Jordan. The only Bible they're ever going to read is the book of Chris. And when they look at that Bible, what will they see? Will they see righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Or will they see crummy attitude and no peace and depression and all the problems that they have? So notice we have to exercise ourselves. If we're going to develop the leader within, guys, we have to take the Word of God, incorporate it in our system, and then live it. Great revelation, then act on it, then do it. Could I have an amen? Well, you know, don't just amen it, although do amen it, but also do it. Could I have an amen? Y'all listen to this. Is this helping anybody? Say, I want to develop the leader within. You know that. If you don't use it, you will lose it. All these things that you're learning in Bible school, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. You'll have spiritual atrophy. You know, you begin to get weak. You gotta use it. Could I have an amen? And you're gonna have to have a little self-discipline. To be honest with you, that's one of the greatest characteristics of developing a leader within is self-discipline. You remember 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, the Bible says, be temperate in all things. Uh-oh. The Amplified Bible literally says, restrict yourself in every area. You will not find a leader, a true leader, I mean a sustained leader, that is just out of control in one area. And that's not going to happen. You have to have temperance. You have to have balance. You just can't be swinging everywhere. I mean, you could really be doing really, really well in one area, but if you're out of control in one area, it could really hurt your ministry. It could hurt your leadership. So we have to have temperance in all areas. And I know I don't get a lot of amens for that one. I don't want to talk about prosperity. We are. Could have an amen. All right. You'll listen to that. So notice here, the Bible says, but bodily exercise profits a little. Now, the Greek word little is oligos, and it literally means for a little while. He is not downing exercise. As a matter of fact, I think it's very important for leaders, if you're going to develop the leader within, to exercise. Do something. Take a walk. Do something. Could have an amen. And no condemnation, because there were times, you know, in the ministry, I just got so busy and I got out of sync. But I mean, over the last, here's what changed, you all know my story, but here's what changed my life, is when the Lord, from 2 Corinthians 4:7, He said to me, this treasure is in earthen vessels. You know that. He said, yeah, this treasure is an earthen vessel, but the treasure will only go as far as the earthen vessel will take it. You understand that? And if this earthen vessel keels over before its time, you can have all kind of treasure on the inside, but it's not going to be released to a hurting humanity. And here's a great revelation. Well, you know, I want to get to heaven. Well, I mean, I understand that, but guys, great revelation here. Everybody in heaven is saved. So we need you here. We need you helping here. We need you spreading your treasure around. Can I have an amen? So notice here, bodily exercise profits for a little while, and that little while is while you're here on this earth. But notice here, the Bible goes on to say, but godliness or God in us coming out is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. So what he's saying is this. He's saying, great, exercise is great. As a leader, you ought to do it, but make sure you don't spend 2 hours in the gym and only 5 minutes in God's gym. You need to be not only a physical Arnold Schwarzenegger, but you need to be a spiritual Arnold Schwarzenegger. Could I have an amen? That is, of course, if you want to be back. Amen. Amen. And some thought it thundered. All right, praise God. Now, you'll get that later, depending if you read the Bible or not. But bodily exercise profits a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the... No, all things. Everybody say all things. There, I covered you. All right. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, this phrase, this is a faithful saying, is the Greek phrase pistos halagos, and it reads, faithful is the word. If you're going to develop the leader within, you have to understand something. I've learned as a leader, you don't get too excited when people come and say nice things. You don't get too upset when people go and say mean things. What you have to do is rely on the only thing that won't change. Faithful is the word. As a leader, that's what you can bank on. Now, you have to love people and you have to trust people, even if folks have burned you. You've got to love again. Matthew chapter 5, a main portion of the end of that chapter, is talking about becoming vulnerable again, even though you've been hurt. As a leader, you've got to learn to trust people. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 7:16, the Bible says, I have confidence in you in all things. And he's writing that to the messiest bunch in the Bible, the Corinthians. Paul had a tremendous ability to see the oak tree, even though they only look like an acorn. But at times, you have to trust wisely. You understand that? You got to trust wisely. Amen. Now, notice here what the Bible says, faithful is the word. And if you're going to develop the leader within, don't ever forget that faithful is the word. The word will work for you guys. Amen. And the Bible says, worthy of all acceptation. The Greek literally reads, worthy of unqualified acceptance. In other words, the standard is the word of God, and everything else has to match up to that standard. Hey, I believe in dreams. I've had them from God. I believe in visions. I've had them from God. But bottom line, dreams, visions, angels, you name it, the standard is the word of God. And if it doesn't match up to that standard, you're going to have to chalk it off to anchovy pizzas. Could I have an amen? And as a leader, the standard is the Bible. Amen. Thank God for the supernatural really taking place in these last days. But they have to match up. If it contradicts the Bible, you understand that that can't be from God. Amen. Notice here in verse 9, for therefore, now that connects us with us applying the word of God, we both labor, kopos, that is talking about hard toil. The ministry, guys, here's a great revelation. It's a lot of hard work. It's not about preaching and praying and prophesying. And if you're ever going to develop the leader within, whether you're calling the fivefold ministry or whether you're called into the ministry of helps, you're going to have to understand the principle of work. Here's a great revelation of how you're going to develop the leader within. Simple formula. Time, determination, and hard work. Can we go on to the next point, Mr. Freeze? But that's it. I mean, that's bottom line. Time, determination, hard work. And I really want to get that one thing across to you tonight. If you're going to develop the leader within, you're going to really have to be a person who's determined, who has a backbone that says, you know, bless God, I'm going to develop that potential. Amen. You're going to have to, because there's all things that are going to try to get carried off track. And she's going to have, there are going to be people that are going to be, you have to be determined. You have to have a backbone. You have to have a spine. Amen. Can't be just this little cotton string, as Brother Hagin says. You got to have a little bit of a crowbar. Amen. So notice here, the Bible says we labor and suffer reproach. Now remember, in verse 7, we were exercising ourselves unto godliness. Isn't that right? Now notice, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12 that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Great nugget. You ready? Listen to me closely. To lead is to be misunderstood. You ought to be writing that on your forehead. To lead is to be misunderstood. Anytime you lead, you'll be misunderstood. People won't get it. And you have to understand that. If you're going to develop the leader within, you have to understand that persecution is going to come. You're not claiming it. You're not confessing it, but it comes. The Bible says if you live godly in Christ Jesus, it'll come. So therefore, if you aren't ever experiencing any persecution, you do the math. You understand that? So we have to understand that, hey, hard times in life, and the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, the Bible says we need to endure hardness as a good soldier. There's times in life and ministry that hard times come, but listen to me so closely here, please. If you are always running from hard times where you are, you'll never get to where God wants you to be. Never. Never. If you don't face a couple lions, if you don't face a couple bears, Goliath's going to wear you out. Now, I'm not talking about suffering the things that Jesus has redeemed us from. You understand that. I'm not talking about car wrecks. I'm not talking about sickness or disease. But I am telling you, in life and ministry, you can't just be off somewhere in a corner rebuking things. You got to face a couple of things. I rebuke you. I bind you. I rebuke you. Well, how about facing something? You ought to rebuke certain things, but how many know? God, now listen to me closely. Listen to me closely. We don't like to hear this a whole lot. God will specialize in bringing people into your life that rub you the wrong way. And if you run for Mr. or Mrs. Rub You the Wrong Way, guess what's going to be around the corner when you run? Two more! And these two will be uglier than the one you ran from. So you might as well go ahead and get some of that stuff rubbed off you that God wants to get rubbed off you. Iron sharpens iron. When iron rubs against each other, sparks fly. And if you run from everything that's difficult in life, you'll be running from the success of your own future. You're running from your own leadership. You have to sit there and you have to understand. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, the Bible says that after you've suffered a little while, the Lord will strengthen you, establish you, settle you. Now I'm not talking about sickness or disease, or a car wreck. That's not what I'm talking about. But notice here it's after you suffer for a little while. Not forever, a little while. And therefore, you might as well go ahead and learn whatever lesson that God's trying to get across to you and listen to me closely. Learn it with joy. Because if you don't learn it with joy, you may be obedient, but you're not willing. Good of the land goes south. You understand? The Bible says, James 1:2, count it all joy when you fall into different tests, trials, or temptations. Let me paraphrase, or ugly people. Or whatever. Fall into different tests, trials, or temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith exercises patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. See, God is not only, let patience have her perfect work, that's the manifestation of whatever you've been believing for. That you may be perfect, that's your personal maturity. So God is not only interested just in the manifestation of what you're believing for, but also, listen to me closely, your personal maturity, your developing of leadership skills. And you have to do it with joy. Because that'll give you the strength to continue through these turkeys. And that's half the lesson, is doing it with joy. Life is about 10%, what actually happens in about 90% how you react to it, the attitude that you have about it. Really. Don't listen to me on this. Don't miss that one. If you want to develop the leader within, you're going to have to remember these things. Don't just always be binding and rebuking. Be doing some character building. How's that? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want to look more like Jesus. Don't you? Amen. Hope you get that. Just don't miss that. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Now, notice the word command here. The word command in the Greek, strong word. And if you're going to ever develop the leader within, listen to me closely, you have to learn the power, listen to me closely, of controlled confrontation. He's talking tough. These things command. You have to learn the power of controlled confrontation. See, leaders, I was talking to Kenneth the other day, so proud of him. He's a minister in training student. And he was telling me he got an opportunity for the first time at the local church where he is to confront somebody and do some correction, because he's in a leadership role. He's over about 20 people in his church. And Brother Kenneth said, man, that wasn't a whole lot of fun, but he really felt good about doing what was right. Now, if you love to confront people, something's wrong with you. So we're not talking about you loving to confront people. That's something weird about that. But what we are saying is that when it's necessary, you have to do controlled confrontation if you're going to ever develop the leader within. You had to do that. I'm proud of you. You'll have to do that if you're ever going to be a leader. If you ever want to develop the fullness of your ministry, particularly like the Brooms, you're going to be pastors. You'll have to learn how to have controlled confrontation. Not to where your veins are bulging out of your neck. That's why people don't like to confront, because it usually is a blah instead of a controlled. And if you learn how to do this, and you learn how to walk with God and not just wait till someone's hanging on the cliff and they're about 50 feet from the cliff, you can have controlled confrontation. And you're going to need to understand that as a leader. You got to develop the leader within. Not a power trip, but you have to. And Kenneth said, you know, just the righteousness, peace, and joy that came with doing something that was hard, but I knew I needed to do it. Isn't that a fun feeling? I mean, you do something that is hard, and you don't want to do it, but you do it, and man, when you go to bed, oh, man, nothing's worth exchanging that righteousness, peace, and joy. Nothing. Because that's what your spirit's craving. Notice here the Bible says, these command and teach. Now, the word teach in the Greek, in the Greek tense, is habitually teach. Now, listen to me closely. If you're ever going to develop the leader within, you have to remember the power of repetition. Here's a great revelation. Sheep don't normally get it on the first runaround. You got to remind people. Now, I'm not talking about bothering people, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to remind people. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:12, Peter said this. He said, though you be established in the present truth, I'll always bring them into your remembrance. If you're going to develop leadership within, you have to learn the power of repetition. You know that. I mean, I'm sure Miss Amy's already found that out in youth ministry. Okay, guys, we're going to have a going to the water park. We're going to Ogles Water Park. All right, and so you say it one time maybe from the pulpit, and you know you got 47 people raise their hand. Yes, I'm going, Dr. Amy, let's go. And then you don't remind, this was like 6 weeks ago, and you don't remind, and you reserve 47 buses and 18 this is, and then on the day, on game day, here's three people. Their little goggles, you know, in their bathing suit. And as a leader, you have to learn the power of repetition. Can I have an amen? Verse 12, the Bible says, Let no man despise, in the Greek, look down on thy youth. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Remember, guys, and now we have in this Bible school, we have folks anywhere from 17 to 48, so we've got a real smattering of folks. But I do want you to understand, no matter what age you are, we need to be an example. And people begin to look down on us when we talk a good talk, but we don't walk a good walk. And notice here the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Now, the word be thou in the Greek is ginomai. In the Greek, it means be thou becoming. It is a continual process. And ginomai, listen to me closely here, always carries with it in the Greek an element of surprise. Now, I like this. If you begin to develop the leader within, you yourself will begin to be surprised what's on the inside of you. If you dare to walk into a situation that you've never walked in before, you'll be surprised how God will come through for you. You'll be surprised how well you do. And you know what? So will other people. Well, I remember them, but look at him now. Surprise! Be thou becoming, the Bible says here. Be thou an example. The Greek word tupos means type. It's talking about a role model. Guys, if we're going to successfully go into the 21st century, we're going to have some role models in the church. Well, I don't want to be a role model. We need you to be a role model. It's not going to be Dennis Rodman that's going to lead us in the 21st century. It's going to be you. Don't be afraid to be a role model. Now, obviously, we're role models that are pointing to Jesus, but don't be afraid to be a role model. Could have an amen. Notice here, be an example of the believers. Not just your peers, of the believers. You, as a 20-year-old, can be an example to a 40-year-old. Isn't that right? Notice here in word. Now, obviously, guys, we need to be an example in what we say. The Bible says in James 3, 1 and 2, that if we're ever going to be considered mature, we're going to have to be people that do not offend in word. You can't be reckless with the things that you say. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, 19, where there are many words, sin is not absent. Now, please don't mistake me. You do need to be communicative. But you do not need to have what I call, and I apologize up front, verbal diarrhea. Could I have an amen? Take some spiritual KO pectate, for goodness sake. Amen. In word, in conversation. Now, this is talking about your lifestyle, your character. Here's a great revelation. If we're going to ever develop the leader within, folks, we're going to absolutely need to have character and not be one. Amen. Everybody say character. Oh, that's important. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that will give you sustained leadership if you have character. If people can count on you. If you fulfill your word. If you do what you're going to say. And you're not perfect. Some things happen beyond your control. But a great revelation that changed my life to be a person of my word is the greatest person with the greatest memory is a piece of paper. Write it down. Amen, amen. Y'all hear? Can I have an amen? Notice here in conversation, in charity, love. If you're going to develop the leader within, you're going to have to walk in love. I highly recommend you memorize 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 in the Amplified. Love is patient and kind. It never boils over with jealousy or envy. It doesn't insist on its own way or seek its own. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It's ever ready to think the best. It takes no account of wrong done to it. It rejoices when right and truth prevail, and its hopes are fadeless. And if you don't know what love is, and that is the definition of love, you will not know when you have walked out of it. But if you do know what it is, you'll know when you walk out of it, and you can stop. If we're going to develop the leader within, you're going to have to walk the love walk. Could I have an amen? Notice here, the Bible says in spirit. Now, this is referring to your attitude. Uh-oh. Ever say attitude? Now, the Bible tells us, folks, in Ephesians 4:23, that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. But it means in the attitude of our mind. That could be translated that way. If we're going to be develop the leader within, it's not just what we do. Guys, it's our attitude. We got to do things with a good attitude. Ever say, I don't want a rude tude. I want to be renewed in my tude. Isn't that right? Now, let me ask you a question. See, you're going to have to remember, if you're going to develop the leader within, you're going to have a good attitude. You really will. You have to. So many of you just have such great attitudes. You smile. You're full of joy. You're not up one day and down the next. You know, I appreciate that. Keep developing that. Amen. I'm telling you, bad attitude, if you're a person that kind of flies off the handle, you know what I mean, one day or up real high and then down real low, you know, if you're ever going to develop the leader within, please, what I'm about to say, listen to this. You're going to write this in. You're going to have to manage your emotions. Write that down. You're going to have to manage your emotions. You're going to need to be an emotions manager. You will. You can, if you're just up and down and up and down and flying. Hey, I'm telling you what, folks. It cost Moses entering into the promised land. He flew off the handle and smacked that rock twice. That's it. It cost him in the beginning. God gave him another chance, you know, when he killed that Egyptian. But he smacked that rock twice. And now, I grant you, it's because it was this type and a shadow of Jesus. You know, and Jesus is only crucified once. But it's also a type and a shadow of self-effort. He got in the flesh. And he let his anger get out of control. He could not, listen to me closely, he could not manage his emotions, and therefore he was not allowed to enter in to the promised land. That is a type and a shadow, folks. If we do not manage our emotions, you'll never develop the leader within. Are you listening to me? You've got to manage your emotions. You have to tell your soul, soul, bless the Lord. Have a good attitude. Yeah, but she, yeah, but he. That's not the point. Have a good attitude. You got to manage your emotions. And just simple things like getting a little rest. Simple things like, you know, spending time worshiping God. You can't spend a half an hour singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Giving thanks. You know, Pastor Lou and Peggy and I, we're talking about being thankful people back here in my office. And that's a reflection of, you've got freedom on the inside. You're not just all, you know, all bottled up. You love God and you I love you, Lord. Psalms. Hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Giving thanks. That's a characteristic of a spirit-filled person. Not just every blue moon you pray in tongues. A spirit-filled person has a good attitude. Verse 20 goes on to saying you're submissive. You're teachable. You're not always... Rah, 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 rah. Could I have an amen? Ever say have a good attitude? Don't be rude. Be renewed in your tude. You all getting that? Notice here in faith, we're going to have to be an example. If we're going to develop the leader within, we're going to have to be an example of faith. Amen. Notice here, the Bible says in purity. Ever say purity? Now, this in the Greek is talking about sexual purity, not only in action, but in thought. If you're going to develop the leader within, you're going to have to at times pull a Joseph. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts. You got Potiphar's wife coming downtown, you better get out of there. Don't sit there, I'm Captain Charismatic and I resist you. You're gonna get swamped. You're going to give in to temptation. Get out of there. Well, I mean, I got God. I know you got, the Bible says, Romans 13:14, make no provision for Potiphar's wife. You understand that? You're going to have some purity about you and in your thought life. As if you're going to develop the leader within, you can't play with thought. Because see, God does see that. And eventually that'll come out in a way that you don't want it to. So if you're going to develop the leader within, everybody say, I got to have purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Now notice the phrase reading and exhortation and doctrine. When I was meditating on that one day, the Lord really rainbowed this to me. He said this. He said that is personal, that is relational, and that is ministerial development. If you put those things together, he is saying this. Reading is talking about your private time in the Word, you and the Lord. Exhortation is the Greek word parakaleo, and it means someone called alongside. It is talking about me, I'm in the Word personally. And then all of a sudden in my friendships, you know, I know when Pastor Louie and I get together, we talk a lot of Jesus. You know, we talk a lot of Bible. And we're then developing things. I'm talking about, you know, what the Lord's showing me. He's talking about what the Lord's showing him. And how many know when you give away revelation, you always get back more? And so here, and see, there's nothing wrong. I'm not talking about you have to talk in King James English or about the Bible 24 hours a day. Not, you can talk about other things, but I'm saying let it be more than just the falls. Please let it be more than just the falls. Please. All right, now I got my friends from Kentucky here. They'll back me up on that. All right, amen. Isn't that right? So every once in a while, let's have a spiritual depth to our relationship. So I appreciate Amy and Abby. You know, they, when they were here in school, they always had a spiritual depth to their relationship. One just fluff. You know, you have fun and you enjoy friendship, but I mean, there's got to be some depth to it. So here you are spending time with God in the Word of God. You get with your friends and it's not just fluff and you begin to discuss the things of God. What's God showing you? You're getting a little bit more. Now, here the last, the Bible says reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Doctrine in the Greek means teaching. So here we are developing the leader within, and this will have an application whether you call the ministry or not. We're developing the leader within. We're spending time with God, spending time in His Word. We're talking it with our friends. And then when we get up here on Sunday morning, we don't just spew some kind of a thing out from a tape that we heard last night. We heard something that we're living. We heard something that's alive and fresh to us. And that's the difference. There's a big difference. There's a lot of future ministers in here. You future ministers, there's a big difference between being a good preacher and a good minister. Big difference. You got to spend a little time, you know, like David did, in some sheep dip. Cleaning up after a bunch of sheep. You got to spend a little time getting your hands dirty, putting your hands, getting with the people. I was sharing this the other day in class. That was why God described David as a man after his own heart. Because Jesus, of course, is a shepherd, the shepherd of our soul. And where did David begin to develop that heart? Well, working with the sheep. You got to spend a little time. It's not just coming up here and preaching, guys. You got to spend a little time living this thing. Could I have an amen? I mean, there's a difference between a good preacher. Good preachers are a dime a dozen. Good singers are a dime a dozen. But you got somebody here like Rachel, who's not only an excellent singer, but you watch her. She sings unto the Lord. There's a big difference. You can be really polished, and you can have all these things memorized and this and that, and impress people, even impress them with the Greek. But if you're not living it, if it's not incorporated in your life, it really doesn't make that much difference. Could I have an amen? Are y'all listening to me? Ever say developing the leader within? Notice here in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now the word neglect is an amazing word, and it almost connotes with it almost a laziness. Now get a hold of this. He just said in verse 6, he said, thou hast attained to being a good minister like Jesus, right? Now here he's saying, hey Timothy, it's almost like you're lazy. You're neglecting the gift that's in you. See, he's not rebuking him, nor is he contradicting him. Here's what he's saying. He is saying this. Look, he's saying, Timothy, there's a little piece of God on the inside of you. There's a gift that God has placed on the inside of you. And it is so immense in its potential. It's almost like you've been lazy because it's just like that iceberg. All you can see is maybe one third of it. There's two thirds underneath the water that are yet to be tapped into. And even though you've attained to a certain degree of success, there's so much more because there's a little piece of God on the inside of you, a divine endowment. And every one of you has a gift. There's not one person, I'm not saying fivefold ministry, but every one of you in here has some sort of a gift given by God. And do not think in terms of a gift just means I can sing or a gift just means I can play a banjo. That could be a gift, but not necessarily. Every one of you in here has some gift, a divine deposit of God. And it is like this iceberg. You haven't even tapped into it yet. It is so divine in its potential. She has a tremendous leader on the inside of her. And there's so much more that we can develop. Now, I'm not talking about being a workaholic, and I'm not talking about living an imbalanced life, but I am saying, guys, there's so much more. And the devil will lie to you and say, hey, you've done enough, man. You've done enough. That's the devil. No, don't mistake me. I'm not talking workaholic. I'm not talking imbalanced, but I'm saying it's so supernatural, so divine in its potential. Y'all getting a hold of that? And you need to stir it up, 2 Timothy 1:6. Stir up that gift that's on the inside of you. The word stir up in the Greek is anazopareo. It comes from three Greek words. Ana means again, zo means light or fire or life. It comes from zoe. Pareo means fire. So what he's saying is, listen to me closely, he's saying, again, make alive the fire on the inside of you. And in the Greek tense, it's over and over and over. It's again, make alive the fire, again, make alive the fire, again, make alive the fire. Well, how do I do that? One way, another way is, another way is, oh, look at what the Bible says. Look at this, Jesus. Look at this. Stir it up. If you want to develop the leader within. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. The Greek reads accompanied by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. And that's one of the reasons I selected these passages, because it's talking about Timothy's ordination day. And we have a real special pastorette that's about to be ordained. Amen. Hallelujah. We're excited about that. Praise God. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. Now that phrase, give thyself wholly to them, is one Greek word. And it literally means to throw yourself into this. Guys, if you're going to do it, let's do it. If we're going to pastor, let's pastor. Brooms, we're training the brooms here to be a pastor. I mean, let's get after it. Let's throw ourselves into this. Can I have an amen? Messengers, we're going to throw ourselves into this. Amen. You folks called to the ministry, we're going to throw ourselves, anybody in here, Ministry of Help, Fivefold Ministry, we're going to throw ourselves into this. I mean, if we're going to do it, let's do it. You people like that. You all are just wild for stuff. You don't like to do it. If you're going to do it, let's not do it half. I mean, if we're going to sing for Jesus, let's sing for Jesus. Let's go to Australia and sing for Jesus. Amen. You know, just throwing something out there. Praise God. Amen. That makes sense? Amen. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself hold. Throw yourself. The NASB reads, be absorbed with. Now, you need to be absorbed with developing a leader within. Everybody look up here at me. Make an investment in yourself. Make an investment in yourself. I mean, you need to be, I mean, you're worth it. Well, you know, everybody else is out playing. Well, how about you be in praying? Now, when I talk about imbalance, you need to have fun. You understand that. But you've heard that, you know, the bounty towels, you know, the quicker picker-upper absorbs 25% more, right? That's what you need to be. You need to, I'm going to tell you right now, that's all a leader is. Somebody who absorbs 25% more than the other person. That's all a leader is. A leader is just someone who loves Jesus more than you do. A leader is just somebody who's invested more time in their area than you have. That's all a leader is, period. And if you get a hold of that, you can develop the leader within. There was a young man, and he was inherited some sort of a mountain. And apparently had all kind of precious gems or whatever. And he went to a particular company, and they said, look, I'll give you cash money, to whoever's the head of the company, I'll give you cash money for this piece of land. And it was a pretty decent piece of cash. Right now, today, walk away. He thought, well, man, if they're so interested in that, this must be some prime piece of property. So he said, I'm going to learn everything that I can about mining. So for 2 years, while everybody, he was a young man, everybody else was playing, 2 years, he learned everything he could about mining. Talked to miners, you know, people that were 16 and under. So he didn't learn much there. So he read books, studied this, studied that. For 2 years, invested 2 years while everybody else was fooling around. He learned everything he could about it, went back to that piece of property that he had inherited, and now he is worth millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars because he was willing to make an investment while everybody else was fiddling around. And that's why you all are here. So you might as well go ahead and enjoy the journey and get everything you can out of these 2 years, praise God, if you're going to develop the leader within. Notice here, the Bible says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, I'm going to prove this to you. Can I get you to stand up? What is today? This is for ordination day. That thy profiting may appear to all. Thank you. I don't even have to preach about that. Just get her to stand up. That word profiting in the Greek means progress. It also means to blaze a trail. One translation actually translates, blaze a trail. See, if somebody's not willing to go, if someone's not willing to blaze a trail, nobody's going to follow. There has to be person number one that goes out on a covered wagon to California. There's got to be person one. You know that, even break it down to a microcosm of an altar call. Normally, you know, well, would anybody come? If one person finally comes down, that will normally open the door for three or four or five or more to come. It always takes just one. 2 Chronicles 16:9, God's eyes are searching to and fro, looking on the behalf to find somebody with a heart that he can show himself strong on the behalf of. He is looking over right now, WCBI, right down every single row. And he is looking, he's saying, can I show myself strong on the behalf of Sasha? Can I show myself strong on the behalf of Becky? And he'll skip right over three or four or five people to find one person who is willing to go. That's why don't y'all be afraid to start that pastor. Don't y'all be afraid to do it. I mean, I know it's easy. I know it's easy. Sometimes you sit back in comfortability, but he's looking for one. You're going to make it. You're going to succeed. And see, then other people will follow. Amen! That thy profiting may... Now, I didn't say everybody's going to like it when they see your profit or progress. I didn't say that. Not everybody's going to like it when you succeed. But they'll still see it. Notice here in verse 16, take heed unto thyself, take heed unto thyself, take heed unto thyself. Now listen to me closely, we're almost finished. Take heed unto thyself. This is, as I was meditating on this one day, Pastor Louis, the Lord spoke to me so clear, and he said, as I was looking to take heed unto yourself, he said this, he said, make sure, son, that you have a selfless selfishness. A selfless selfishness. Now that almost sounds like an oxymoron, but here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, if you're going to develop the leader within, you're going to have to make sure you don't do what Moses did in Exodus 18. We're just doing for everybody till where it's starting to kill you and hurt the people as well. Take heed to yourself. Have a selfless selfishness. And I don't feel one bit of guilt when I go and take a vacation or when I go and I have a Sabbath day or my wife and I just relax and spend time with God and worshiping God. And I don't feel one bit of guilt because I can't help anybody if I'm drowning myself. And if you're going to develop the leader within, listen to me closely. Every once in a while, you're going to need to know, take the phone off the hook. You just can't do everything, people. Well, I'm busy. Well, I got to work. I know. But eventually, something's going to give. You just can't do everything. A wise leader is willing to say yes, but wise enough to say no. Now, you need to make sure you're a good time manager for you. And right now, where most of you are, be someone who's willing to say, yeah, I'll serve. Yeah, Pastor, I'll go. It's a Sunday men's, work day. I'll come. Yeah, you bet. Be willing. But every once in a while, you're going to have to take the phone off the hook. Every once in a while, you're going to have to turn the TV off. Every once in a while, you're going to have to lock the door, and a sister neighbor comes by, you're going to have to not answer it. Every once in a while, take heed to yourself. You understand that? I was watching one of those real video kind of things, and there was this little boy who was stuck in one of those drainage dishes that the water rushes really, really fast, real shallow water, but I mean 30, 40 miles an hour, real fast. He just, and here there was a fireman or rescue guy, and he was, at a certain point at the bank, and he was trying to reach out and rescue this guy, all right, and this child. And so when he did, he slipped and fell in. Now you got the rescuer, now who is now the rescuee. And they're both whizzing down this little drainage thing, 34 miles an hour. And this guy ain't helping nobody. You see my point? There's a time where you're going to have to turn off the phone, turn off the this, shut the door, say no to that and no to this, and spend time with God if you're going to develop the leader within. I hope you understand it. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, and in doing this you'll save yourself and them that hear thee. That is a selfless selfishness. I know when I'm taking a break and spending time with God, I'm about to spend here a week, my wife and I are going to go down to a place where we always go, and we're going to spend time with God, I don't feel a bit guilty, and I'll tell you why. Because I know, guys, that when I spend time and get away with God as a leader, then not only will it save, that's the word sozo, save, heal, deliver me, but it's also going to help you. And if you're ever going to develop the leader within, you're going to have a selfless selfishness in order to win. Everybody say, I will develop the leader within. I will develop the leader within. I'm going to be absorbed with this in order to win. I'm going to develop my gift. And in doing so, I'll give a hurting humanity a tremendous lift. I'm going to develop the gift, the leader within. No more giving into sin. I'm going to develop the leader within in order to win. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your word. We thank you so much for this student body, for our visitors, our guests. Seal in every heart and seal in every mind your holy word. Cause it to grow and bear a lot of fruit. And oh, Father, I thank you for the oak trees that I see in front of me. Father, I thank you. Maybe some of these students see themselves as acorns, but Father, I thank you that they begin to join your vision, my vision, the staff's vision, the Harrison's visions for them. And they develop into that oak tree where even the fowls of the air can then come and lodge underneath. And they develop that oak tree where their branches run thick and far and wide,
and they're branches of ministry, branches of a blessing to others. They're developing that gift. They're developing that leader on the inside of them. And we thank you for it. We bind devils that would try to hinder it. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.